Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Wrestle Culture. It's time to begin. Now count it in. 5, 6, 7, 8. My boots scooting. Pagey is grabbing me, crazy. My obsession from wrestling. My dance floor date. My millennial Romeo. Cowboy God from head to toe. You ain't your mind gonna get in line. AEW. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Phil James and Andy Murray from What Culture to discuss all that goes on in wrestling this week. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, we're joined by Phil and Andy to discuss all the goings on in wrestling this week. We sort of workshopped that intro there, but we should start by talking about the return of Hangman Page, Andy Murray. What a surprise, the Joker in the casino ladder match on Wednesday night. How do you feel about all this?
Great, yeah, great.
I only say that because, there was some hesitation amongst AEW fans whether it was sort of like a shortcut back to the world title picture for him.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have kind of expressed the opinion, some in good faith, most not in good faith, that the influx of your CM Punks and your Bryan Danielsons and everything else would lead somehow to Hangman Page being forgotten about or buried or abandoned or whatever else. You saw all kinds of wacky tweets going around going, hey, he's going to go to WWE, better get Paul on the phone. But I think that the reception he received in Philadelphia kind of shows that he's still like the over guy as far as homegrown people, organically raised people. Not homegrown, because he was in Ring of Honor for however long, but you know what I mean. Kind of agree slash disagree at the same time with the perception of him like kind of shortcutting his way to this title shot. I think that fair enough, yeah, the anxious millennial cowboy persona has been like, look at all these hurdles he's had to overcome. He's so close and now he's fallen all the way down the bottom. But you've kind of done that 2 or 3 times already. And it's like, if you want to get to this title shot, do you really want to go through that process and maybe risk him not being as over through it? Do you really want to take the time to do that when the plan apparently seems to be full gear? I think it's a more interesting mental challenge now because he's face to face with Kenny Omega now. And is the anxious millennial cowboy man ready for that straight away without that build? I think it presents some interesting character stuff, but like just an incredible pop. And
what's it? Is it the Mandela effect where you misremember something sort of collectively? Is that, I'm not sure that's the right term or not, but there was a certain feeling around the What Culture office that Page had said he can never challenge for the title whilst Omega's champion. That actually wasn't the case, of course, Phil. He just sort of lost his title opportunity involved in that 5-on-5 match involving the Dark Order as well. But any question marks over, especially with how close Full Gear is, I think doing another run up the rankings would be a bit iffy. But any question marks over fan sentiment towards him whilst he's been away and Punk and Danielson and Cole have arrived were, well, blown off along with the roof on AEW Dynamite, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. It was remarkably easy for him to get the entire crowd booing John Moxley. So that says quite a lot about how over the guy is at the minute. And I think my favourite thing about this is that it was the most obvious thing to do, and they still did it.
It's been a while.
Get a lot in wrestling. Yeah. Over in the WWE land, anyway. And it's like sometimes you've just got to do the most obvious thing because that's the logical storyline. That's the story that everybody wants. And the anxious millennial cowboy thing, it has been an amazing build, and then like knocking him down just as he gets to the top kind of thing is really, really good and engaging and makes you feel for him. But you can only do that so many times. If you go back into that and do it again, or like make him go back up the ranks or something like that, like eventually that's going to lose its shine. And like, you've got to know when to pull the trigger on these things, and it's got to be now.
And me and Andy were talking about this on the news today in terms of him potentially actually winning the title and then dropping it pretty quickly. It is just the story of him getting to the title, really, this time around. I've no doubt he's going to win that world title multiple times in AEW, but you aren't going to struggle, as someone who's made video packages in the past, you aren't going to struggle to chart that amazing story from him, you know, being the first contender for the title the first time, and then coming up the rankings and then ballsing it up at the last minute so Orange Cassidy and Pat get in there, and then doing this with Kenny Omega and the Dark Order and stuff. It already is a brilliant story. I don't think you really need to tell another five chapters when one more will do, sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to get to the end of that chapter and the end of the story, sorry, and the end of that story is him holding the championship. However long that lasts, it doesn't really matter after that because you've had that moment of him doing this. And I think the double tie-in with how they've managed to intertwine all the Dark Order stuff with this as well, and then the Dark Order like seemingly almost breaking up on Dynamite and things, and then like they're all like things going on within the Dark Order and you don't know what's going to happen, and then that all to manage to come together on a bloody Brody Lee memorial show in Brody Lee's hometown for that to all come together, and then this Hangman Page thing to happen as well. It's like that's just incredible timing that they've somehow managed to pull out of their ass to make all of this work in like intertwined all together. It's fantastic.
Sticking with AEW, hell of a hot crowd in Philly on Wednesday night, and of course tonight, even though it's taped on Wednesday night, you know, to look forward to. Celebrating, of course, the anniversary of AEW Dynamite. 2 years, Phil Chambers. Over the weekend, there will be a podcast out with myself and Michael Sidgwick, about an hour long, talking all about, you know, our thoughts regarding this incredible achievement, this milestone for AEW Dynamite. For you, what are your favourite moments over the past couple of years?
My God. It's crazy when you look back on it, that it has only been 2 years.
Yeah.
Because you think about the amount of moments, and it's hard to pick one because there's so many. And it's like, it's just utterly ridiculous. And it seems like, as well, with the whole pandemic, they've been through eras already within 2 years. Like, you've had the opening era, the pandemic era, and then the crowds returning era, and now we're on to the sort of CM Punk and Bryan Danielson era, and it's like, it's crazy how much it all stands out. But you've got to look back, like the Punk pop coming back is an obvious one. I think that's the thing I've probably rewatched the most in wrestling in the past 10 years, at least, if not more. Absolutely incredible. Double or Nothing will always stand out, the first one. John Moxley coming back, because especially since we were in the crowd for it as well, and the whole John Moxley leaving as a work thing that just tied in so well with us being there. And just that as a moment is absolutely fantastic.
In terms of Dynamite stuff, I don't think you can look much further than Sting debuting, can you?
Yeah.
Like that reaction, even amongst 1,000 fans or whatever it was.
Got a pop in an empty building pretty much, didn't he? Yeah, I marked out like a small child for the Sting debut. It was so, so well done. And Sting in general has been a riot to watch since he came in. But like, as far as Dynamite moments go, it does feel like they deliver one every single week. Like, there's so many you can pick from. And that's testament to, like, the memorability. Is that even a word? I don't know. Of the storytelling and everything else. I think, like, Pac versus Kenny Omega for me. What a match that was, man. Absolutely tremendous. One of my favorite matches in AEW, full stop, regardless of, like, TV. Obviously, I'm talking about the second one, obviously.
Yeah.
But like in general, the TV is like packed with fun stuff every week. I mean, can I just say, like, every single time Miro has said every single way he's going to please his wife in his promos, like what on earth? He's just the most strangely sexy man I've ever seen, Miro. Isn't
a hell of a turnaround for him on Dynamite, as you've witnessed it.
Hell of a turnaround.
He's had pay-per-view matches, or been involved in stuff on pay-per-views, but it is the basis for him where he came in and he was the best man, and then
Donald Duck t-shirt.
Like video game bollocks, and then the video game match that sort of reestablished him.
Was ace.
And then this new version of him is an amazing tale, and it is sort of testament to You know, if you're worried about your favorite person coming to AEW and, you know, debuting poorly, you're looking at, you know, I'm thinking of like your Andrade, for example. They can still turn it around because they don't just keep plugging away at something when they know it's not working.
Just look at the Dark Order and how incredibly different they are as a group to how they came in. And that was not working on Dynamite, and that was not working at all.
On the worst Dynamite ever, I believe.
Yeah. And now they're one of the most over and entertaining things on the show.
Yeah, of course, they didn't debut on that show, did they? Because we were at the show and the creepers and stuff came out. But they were part of one of the worst segments ever.
Yeah.
And then...
the thing that spurred Tony Khan to take the creative reins, apparently.
Makes a lot of sense, really.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a dreadful, like, really disastrous angle.
You can't forget about 2.0 debuting against Moxley and
They just appeared out of nowhere, didn't they? Like, on social media the day before. It's like, whoa, what? You just left WWE 2 days ago, boys. This is awesome.
I was saying to Sidge, it's mainly Sidge talking on this podcast over the weekend, so I'm just going to briefly cover some things that I mentioned. Ladina Debonair is divisive, but it is something I would not have seen anywhere else in my wrestling had I not been watching AEW Dynamite. And probably one of my favorite moments, if you're not including matches and stuff and like debuts, because I'm a sadistic bastard, is MJF whipping Cody Rhodes.
Yes. 10 lashes is a tremendous segment. Perfect pro wrestling.
I was thinking like the Britt Baker promo on the boat episode as well, where she first turned heel and it was first like, this is gonna work, this is gonna click, this is good, some good stuff, and then everything that she did on Dynamite after that was absolutely fantastic.
I think the boat episode as well, I think that was the first time like the whole crowd sung Judas at Jericho, and that was pretty special in itself because of how big a thing that has become now as well. There's just so many, even like last week, honestly, like I can picture myself doing this same conversation on the third anniversary of Dynamite and talking about Amanda Huber and Negative One coming out in the middle of the Dark Order's reunion match.
Yeah.
Stuff every week. And like, it's a weird thing to do to sit here and go, oh, the Brody Lee Memorial Show, but the whole thing was tremendous.
Yeah, it's weirdly tinged that. I said on the thing, I said, I don't think I'll ever actually go back and watch it, but it is also seared into my memory, that show that they pulled
perfect.
Off, what, a week absolutely or so after perfect. His passing? It's just astonishing for them to do something like that. And, you've got to mention a variety of different things in terms of matches and moments, but you also kind of have to go back to the first episode of Dynamite, concluding with the debut of the Inner Circle, basically. Because without that, capturing people's attention and making people go, well, I have to see what happens with these guys next week.
Yeah.
Who knows where we'd be? I know we're looking forward now to Punk and Danielson, but I do want to give credit to Jericho. The friends of mine who are wrestling fans, very casual wrestling fans, would turn around to me in the subsequent weeks and months and go, isn't that the one that's got Jim Ross and Jericho in?
Yeah.
And for a casual wrestling fan, that's what you need to hook people in.
Yeah, and the first guy that you hang your hat on as a company couldn't have worked out much better for them, really. And it also, at the same time, wasn't the Jericho that you know from WWE. It was like a different version of Jericho that he'd brought to the table.
Yeah.
And I think that worked as well, because his name value brings people in. But then it's like, oh, this isn't the Jericho I know and love kind of thing. That's going to hook people. And
then do you think
and how they use that to introduce other characters within it as well, like especially with the Inner Circle, with like Sammy Guevara and things like that.
We barely had time on the pod to talk about Eddie Kingston, but do you think, like, you know, we've got to talk about his arrival, but also the utilization of AEW Dynamite to not necessarily excuse away, but to respond to the understandable reaction to that god-awful barbed wire deathmatch stuff.
Perfect. It was so perfect. Like, the way they used Eddie in that scenario as well, knowing that he is the realest guy in wrestling, I think, as far as, like, presenting himself goes. Never once have I watched Eddie Kingston in all my years of watching him and thought, this guy's playing a character, or anything like that. And the way he kind of brought in almost like a mental health discussion into it as well, talking about his anxieties and like relating it to a past incident, which who knows if it was a real incident or not. It's Eddie Kingston. That's part of the joy. Him and he's had a bunch of these moments as well. Like, his debut promo on Cody was so awesome.
I was just going to say, talk about like what JR always says about maximizing your minutes. Like, he got
absolutely
a few minutes with a microphone, and boy, howdy did he make them work for him.
Eepered Cody, eepered Arn Anderson. tremendous stuff. Him and Moxley had a great in-ring segment as well before their title match and everything. Eddie's in a lot of these moments, for sure. Yeah.
You know, on in his gun. You can't forget about
that. Oh, yeah. Just about to say, we could probably
and
sit
now he's
here.
Burning Cody's tie.
Sorry, Phil. It was a Glock.
we could sit here and talk about all the, you know, amazing moments from 18 months ago or whatever it may be, but I generally think we could probably sit here and talk about the last 6 weeks of AEW. Like, you've got Kenny versus Bryan Danielson going to a draw. You've got Armed Anderson. You've got... It is a real, it has been a real breath of fresh air for the wrestling
it's
fans.
It's a nice show,
isn't it?
Like, I sit there every week, every time a new work week begins and think how much more interesting, like, my professional life is because of this show. That's not, like, meant as, like, some fawning praise of it, because there are some weeks when it's a bit dodgy, and that, you know, I've had a few weeks where my ups and downs article has been more downs than ups. Which is quite rare for me. I'm a very kind reviewer, as people who read my SmackDown column will attest years ago. But, like, it's just made everything more fun in general because it's different to WWE. It's distinct. You're seeing a lot of people you've been watching for a long time, but they're playing different roles and everything else. The booking generally rewards your investment. We're seeing that now with Hangman Page and everything else. It's a really fun show to watch, and it's different to Raw and SmackDown, and it breaks things up. It does mean we're watching like wrestling every single day now. But hey, that's no problem as a content creator, is it?
2 years of AEW Dynamite, I think it more or less makes it the same amount of time that AEW's been around since I've been working at What Culture compared to the amount of time that it hasn't been around. Like, obviously started in late 2017 here. I can't remember what we used to do before AEW Dynamite. Is that fair?
A lot more lists.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely a lot more lists.
Sort of kick around on Wednesdays and Thursdays and wait. Well, no, because I suppose SmackDown was Tuesdays.
Monday, Tuesdays, and then the rest of the week we're there.
We would quite frequently try and kick a football in a bin, if I recall, various other office games. Yep.
And Thingy jump off tables into boxes.
Thingy P, of course. So
Thingy P.
Rest in Thingy Peace.
That's what we're saying, is AEW has made us work much harder.
I don't even know where that football is. Might try and find it after this.
Let's talk about more WWE sorts of things now, because tonight sees the first round of the, I want to say King and Queen of the Ring, but it's not that, is it? It's King of the Ring and the Queen's Crown Tournament.
Yeah, of course. Why? Why?
God forbid you give men and women parity as we head to Saudi Arabia. Phil, who are your picks for... I'm just going to call it King and Queen of the Ring because I can't be arsed.
Yeah, fair. Easy. Charlotte Flair and Baron Corbin. Rewind, baby. Bring it back.
Double Corbin. Here we go.
None of this happy talk bollocks. Who needs that? That's not fun. King Corbin, bring him back. And then getting poured dog food on Roman Reigns again. Why not? No, neither of those people.
But to be fair, the last King of the Ring tournament they did was excellent.
Yeah, I think the King of the Ring tournament is pretty much always excellent because it's just fun.
Like, the tournament is great.
Are really easy to write. Like, I don't know why they don't do them more often, because they have trouble writing TV sometimes. And tournaments are a really easy way around that, which is why it's so odd when they just chuck them together at the last minute like this just for a Saudi show or whatever. It's like, well, whatever.
They could have had, I've just realized they're doing the King and Queen of the Ring tournaments. I didn't even really think about this beforehand. They're doing it. It culminates in less than 2 weeks. They could have spent
and they announced it last week.
We've known about it for ages, obviously covering it. We could have spent weeks doing matches and things that spill off because of it. In reality, we're going to get, wait a second, SmackDown, two SmackDowns and two Raws, and that's it.
Like, it used to be like a 16-person tournament at one point, didn't it?
And that was going to be two.
Yeah.
And, two people.
And you could have like qualifying matches and things. It's just, you could do so much around this. I don't know why they haven't. But
they've got three. You showed a Phil on Mondays.
I know. It's so weird, like, this time of year as well. Why is everything so crammed together? Why do you have SummerSlam and then you suddenly have the draft and you suddenly...
Why have the draft? If it's not going to kick in till the day after Crown Jewel, why not do it day after Crown Jewel?
Exactly.
And if you want to wait, why not do it after Survivor Series? Because you're immediately going to go into brand warfare.
Yeah.
Which, why would these people care about a brand that they've been on for, like, weeks?
I've been on this show for 2 weeks and I hate the other brand.
What makes sense is wait until after Survivor Series and then do it and then reset. It's easy.
Especially because then when Survivor Series finishes, they go, well, there we have it, Survivor Series. See you in January as we head towards the Royal Rumble.
Like, and then whoever wins at Survivor Series, whichever brand wins, gets the first pick or something stupid like that. Like, easy.
It's
easy, this WWE. What are you playing at?
Relates to the Royal Rumble or something. I don't. It's just so bloody confusing. Andy, who are your picks for King and Queen of the Ring?
I've gone with a very particular theme for my picks for King of the Ring, which will become apparent. Sami Zayn should win King of the Ring.
No complaints from me.
Because, for obvious reasons, he's the best guy at playing a whiny man you want to slap and a conspiracy theorist and everything else. He's so good at it. On a similar note, but even more of a trolling note, Eva Marie.
Oh my God.
Queen's Crown of the Ring Queen winner 2021, Eva Marie, because it would boil an ocean of piss.
Has she won a singles match yet?
In her career, I don't know. I don't know. But this is where it starts, baby. She was undrafted in the draft.
She's a free agent. She's Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. Exactly. She's the female Brock Lesnar. It would just be funny. It would be really funny if, especially if she beat like all of our favorites. Like, you know,
if she beats Liv Morgan in the finals. Yeah. Like, that would be hilarious.
Sasha Banks, just line them up. Eva Marie's going to knock him down. Doudrop in the first round. You know, the heel's got to win that feud. Just, why not? Why not Eva Marie? It'd be funny.
Sorry, I interrupted your serious
picks. Oh, yeah, my actual for the men's, Xavier Woods, because if it's not, you've got issues. Like, come on.
Yeah,
guys.
I love Sami Zayn, but it's got to be, come on, give Xavier something.
No. Also, I think he would be incredibly entertaining with it. And like him and Kofi Kingston parading around with a crown and stuff. They don't have to be King Xavier Woods, but I think they'd actually make it entertaining. Whereas, let's face it, normally when they give someone a crown, it's not very good.
Did you see the bollocks that WWE pulled on socials the other day? They did like a thing of like, which of these is the best King of the Ring? They didn't put fucking King Barrett on there. How fucking dare you? I was about to message them, and then I saw Stuart just been in the comments. I'm like, come on, guys.
Hello, Vince.
Yeah. And as for the women, I don't know. It could be loads. Bianca Belair would be a really good one. But to worry about the Queen Bianca, I don't know what they'd do with that. But I think mainly it should be given to someone either new or that hasn't really had a lot at the minute. So I'd go with either Liv Morgan or Naomi.
Yeah, it depends what you do with it, isn't it? Like, their go-to is, you're a king now, or you're a Queen's Crown tournament now, or whatever it is. Whereas, can't it just be, you're the King of the Ring, and therefore you get, I don't know, like they had the breakout tournament winner in NXT, you can challenge for any title you want, singles, tag, whatever you want it to be, and whenever you want it to be. Not necessarily like a money in the bank, I want to cash in right now sort of thing. But you can just, as a king, it works quite well, declare that you will be challenging for X title at X next pay-per-view, done, sort of thing. Yeah. I think, you know, and then Xavier doesn't have to challenge for the world title and adore. Maybe if he turns heel and stops, stop. We're not doing this Big E bollocks anymore. Stop trying to make the New Day fight each other. But maybe he goes, because he's such a bloody nice guy, you know what? I want to challenge for the tag titles again because we haven't held them for a while with a New Day and blah, blah, blah. And maybe you want to, maybe we want to win the tag titles on Raw so we can be back with our pal, blah, blah, you know, whatever that may be. I think Sami Zayn's a great shout. Xavier Woods is probably everyone's pick.
Yeah.
You were talking about Austin Theory before. I thought that's a hell of a launch pad for someone like him on the main roster.
Yeah, he's just really annoying, isn't he? Like, with his heel persona.
And he's got a very punchable face.
Exactly. Like, who do you think would look the stupidest with a crown in their current getup? I thought about this earlier, and the best I could come up with was Karrion Kross. combine the mask, the gimp straps, and everything else, with the crown and the cape and the scepter, he would look like an idiot.
He'd look like Deontay Wilder making his entrance in the second Fury fight. So yeah, he'd look like a complete bellend.
I was thinking just Sheamus with the mohawk just sticking out the top. You remember how like Scotty Too Hotty's hair used to stick out the top of his hat?
Did he have a green crown when he won it, Sheamus? I dreamt that.
I think he did.
He had some weird Celtic crown or whatever.
Sheamus is a good shout as well because he could keep his mask in his silly coat.
Yeah.
Let's do
it. It's a crown and a nose protector. Stop breaking your nose, Seamus.
I don't need a crown anymore. No. We don't need the bloody king. But if there is, it never works.
If there is one, it has to be Xavier because he'd just wear a crown like sideways. It looked mint.
King Buck is the only one that's actually pulled it off. You didn't see Stone Cold Steve Austin wearing a crown, did you? He didn't even sit on the bloody throne that they built for it.
Who's that you mentioned before? King
Booker.
King Booker. God, I loved him as a king. I thought he was fantastic. Xavier Woods, I think. And then in terms of women's, not anyone but Charlotte Flair, obviously. Anyone but her. I get it. Queen. I mean, it's going to be bad enough they're going to do that belt swap bollocks with Becky and Charlotte on different brands.
If Bayley was still around, 100% would have gone for her. She would have been really funny with it.
Mei Ying already sits on the throne.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Liv Morgan, seems to be the public favourite. So I'm going to say, so you're telling me there's a chance that Shayna Baszler could win it. And then that's parlays that into a world title match because she's the queen of doing the card stuff now. So why not? Please.
The queen of Queen of Hearts.
Yes.
There you go. Natalia. Let's go.
Oh, no. No. I'm going to say anyone but Charlotte.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Right. We should probably talk about Home Invasion next. Andy Murray.
Oh, Jesus.
Why?
I mean...
Why? Did you see the bit on the bump this week?
Oh, God.
Did you have this written down as part of the show?
I didn't, but you feel free to mention it. I was going to mention Seth Rollins invading Edge's house. But
then you were talking about the bump thing, too.
But but we should probably mention, the bump. Well, do you want to explain what happened?
So they were on... Sonya Deville was one of the guests on WWE's The Bump this week. And they were obviously talking about... the home invasion angle where Seth the Chef Rollins turned up to Edge's house and ate his apples.
Which
stuff.
Was quite good. I really enjoyed it.
It was a fun time. Yeah. It was a fun time. While Sonya Deville...
What isn't a fun time?
Yeah. While Sonya Deville, that name is important here, was on that show, one of the hosts of the show, said, Sonya Deville, what would you do if you were in the shoes of Edge?
What the hell
situation?
Were they thinking?
What were they thinking? And you saw Sonya's... Full credit to her for her response. She was such a pro the way she dealt with this. But you saw her face straight away. What are you doing, guys? Why are you asking me this question? She handled it. She moved the segment on and everything else. I'm 100% sure that this was a total mistake.
Right? It was. I think it was meant to be worded as,
What do you reckon of this?
What are the higher-ups going to do about these sort of actions?
Yeah.
But... Why did no one raise their hand and go, we've got Sonya on the show. Think about what the poor girl's been through.
Yeah.
Maybe just don't ask her anything about this.
I'm sure they all smoothed it over afterwards and everything else, but it was clumsy.
Yeah,
very clumsy.
You could She's like, all credit to Sonya in this like entire segment, because how she held it together without going, what the f*** are you
doing? She kicked his ass. <I know>.
But you could tell after she spoke that like the producer had been in the other guy's ear shouting at him like, what the bloody hell are you doing, you absolute idiot.
YouTube.
And then he very quickly turned the conversation around to something else.
Moving quickly on.
Oh, it was so bad.
Having said that, you obviously cover SmackDown reporting on Saturday with Gareth. What did you make of it? Because I thought, I mean, aside from the weirdness of it happening and then it's not being referenced, aside from that part of the show, I thought it was really well executed.
Yeah,
I thought it was good. I'm excited to see how it's followed up tonight.
I was 100% expecting a follow-up, like, later on, like a multi-segment angle through SmackDown. And it was a little bit weird that there was none of that.
Yeah.
I also thought it was hilarious that Edge thought that was the perfect time to pull a little joke and mention FTR on WWE TV. Because he was like, I'm going to go ring. I can't remember what their real names
Stan
are.
And someone, Stan and yeah,
Scott, or I can't remember. Daniel and
Garth
Dave.
Or yeah.
Garth, no, that's Sidgwick's son.
Okay.
No, it's Hamlet's son.
I think it's the one they...
I think it's the one they share, yeah.
Co-parent,
that's
yeah.
Right, that's right.
But like, that's the moment when you're backstage acting like your like wife and child is in mortal danger. That's the time to make a little joke.
He also was very insistent that she didn't go to get groceries as well.
I was... I pissed myself. Not literally, obviously. I've got nabbies for that. when Edge didn't realize recognize the outside of his own house. And he was like, where are you, Seth? What could this possibly be?
Having the Copelands. Wait a second, that's my surname.
I think that's the best way to kind of consume WWE television sometimes, isn't it? Like, sometimes things are going to make no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, how does Edge not recognize the outside of his own... But you just laugh at it.
I for a split second thought he was trying to run home when he ran out of the ring.
And then he was just running to his phone.
You mentioned that about them not coming back to it. I forgot about it. So I like watched it and went, oh, really enjoyable episode of SmackDown. And I think they all merge into one now because of the draft. Maybe this was one where Charlotte got involved, I think. And then Sasha got in involved on Raw.
Yeah.
Sort of finished. I went, oh, well, the usual sort of interference bollocks. Yeah. But okay, well, let's start the day. I'm watching it sort of early morning on Saturday. And like 2 hours later, I'm just like having a shower or something. I was like, wait a second. Is Seth just still in his house? He just slagged off his kids' pictures, had an apple, and went, oh, I could stay here all night. And he went, oh, well, we'll see about that. Next week, apparently. And then it sort of got referenced on Raw with Seth being like, oh, Kevin, don't talk about that. And then on NXT, Beth Phoenix was like, I'll let Adam deal with it. Ooh, real names.
Cool plan.
Like, they still haven't dealt with it, like, what, 5 days later at that point?
That's, and also, this week's segment is going to be Edge finally arriving home.
Yeah. If they deal with it tonight, they'll be dealing with it on the show that neither of the men are on. I mean, technically, they are till the bit after Crown Jewel. But, yeah, I'm just hoping they've done some patter with it.
Yeah.
Like... It's just pitched on the SmackDown review, like Edge has got his kids to paint a picture of him kicking the crap out of Seth Rollins at a Crown Jewel or something, rather than grit. Yeah. Gritty Edge is not.
I just want Edge just punting Seth Rollins' new kid. Kick the baby.
Take that, Ruth.
That's a callback. Snitsky's LCST. Yeah.
Snitsky's on NXT now. Did you not see him on the show this week?
Boudreaux. What's he called now? Horrorland.
Horrorland.
Well, that actually allows me to transition nicely into our final talking point.
Hey.
And that is, well, the highlight.
Is this the only thing you've spoken about all week?
Pretty much.
Yeah, there it is.
The debut of Tony D'Angelo, which Ian Sidge said was the best NXT debut ever. Sorry, Kevin Owens.
Take that, Samoa Joe.
He tried to bribe the referee in full view of everyone before the match began.
Yeah.
He came out to sort of, I think you said it was like harpsichords, mafia music.
But like remixed, so it's cool.
He's getting other people to say, forget about it. Like Carmelo Hayes got a promo. Can he be the thing that sort of saves NXT 2.0? Because he got a huge reaction. Far better than I was hoping for.
Why do you think NXT 2.0 needs saving?
That's exactly perfect. What I was going to say.
It's perfect as it is.
I merely meant, it's a great, it is fantastic. It is one of my favorite shows of the week.
He's just an extension of the beautiful nonsense that it is.
Yes. I merely meant the thing that I was reading yesterday, I think, on Twitter, with them going, yeah, we relaunched NXT 2.0 because
that's how they tweet.
We wanted to connect with a younger audience, and our average age is 62 now.
Yeah, median viewer was 62 years old. A younger audience!
So, like, the show's great. I just mean in terms of getting young people into it, is he going to be the catalyst for it?
Tony D'Angelo. Well,
ironically, for the 18 to 49 audience, hey, you didn't see none, which is true.
I think analysing NXT 2.0, like, seriously and analytically is a bit silly, but I'm going to do it anyway. I think that your enjoyment of Tony D'Angelo probably hinges on how much you like The Sopranos.
I was just going to say, I think going after a younger audience by targeting The Sopranos fans demographic isn't the best way of doing it.
Like, the guy's got an Uncle Paulie and he's got a Cousin Richie iced like a hawk. And he basically did a James Gandolfini impression when he said, "Hey, Tony, we got a situation." Like, hey, I get a serious kick out of this act. It's so dumb. I love it. He was literally, within 2 seconds of him coming out, he was going, "Oh! Hey!"
And then bribing the ref.
Yeah, bribing the ref. Every 5 seconds in the match, he's going, "Oh, hey! Oh!" And he was over as hell, like you said. Like, I don't think there's any way that they're ever going to make this show, like, I don't think they're going to improve the viewership, put it that way, especially doing what they're doing at the moment. And, like, if I was to judge the show objectively, quote-unquote, or whatever, I would think it's crap, and I wouldn't review it well and everything else, because there's a lot of problems with it. But it's a riot to watch every single week, and it's because of these dumb characters.
Hey, just half an hour ago, you were praising AEW because of how different it was to Raw and SmackDown. NXT 2.0, baby!
It's like a kid to do
everything.
I'll be honest, right? 100% honesty here. It's the best show to review.
Yes.
It's better than Dynamite to review. Because Dynamite, right, has really good matches and, like, excellent promos on it. So, like, if MJF cuts another scathing promo on Darby Allin or whatever it may be, I'm there going, "Oh, I've got to watch that again and write down all the points, and that's a nice line. I'll write that down." And then, like, I couldn't sit there with Kenny Omega and Bryan Danielson and go, "Yeah, they were sort of fighting in the ring, and then the bell rang and the 30 minutes were up."
Yeah.
NXT 2.0 matches go 5 minutes, maybe, if you're lucky.
Most of them are too short to get a rating on Cage Match. Like, it's crazy. One thing I'm going to say about NXT 2.0 that I think is going to piss everyone off, because I know a lot of people really don't like NXT 2.0. They miss the old NXT. I think that the worst stuff on NXT 2.0 so far has come from the best wrestlers on NXT 2.0. Your Tommaso Ciampas and your Pete Dunnes and your Kyle O'Reillys. These guys are tremendously talented, but they don't feel like they belong anymore.
They do not fit at all.
No, like, they're cutting serious promos and they're trying to have, like, 4-star matches or whatever. I don't want that anymore. I want Andre Chase delivering Dean Douglas sermons. I want Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes hanging out backstage. I want, whoever the hell else you can mention.
It is weird when you see versions of the old NXT, and less so Kyle O'Reilly, because he has always been best mates with Von Wagner, as we know.
Von Wagner's outrageous.
Like, right? Von Wagner, who also talks in the third person, I noticed this week.
Von Wagner chose you, Cal.
Right.
You got heart.
Right.
But he when looks you like see, the great Carly and Edge had a baby.
And I...
that backstage segment. Oh my god!
When you see, and I love them, so this is not me burying them at all. When you see the Oney Lorcans or the Ember Moons of this world walking out, I go, "Cool, so you're getting jobbed in like 2 minutes," and that's what happens, because this is not your world anymore. This is the world of Cora Jade, the skateboarder who can't really ride a skateboard.
We're not in Toto anymore.
Whose boyfriend thinks he's a superhero or something.
And Ron Breaker is getting big Steiner Brothers energy for some reason.
This is going to be a great take for our American audience, but do you remember on CITV an old kids program called Zap?
Yes.
And it was basically like a comic book that comes to life, and there's like a witch and there was other things. That's NXT 2.0 at the
minute. It's just like, "Oh, I'm getting a bit bored of this. Oh, let's move on to the other
thing." This other thing.
And it's colourful, this.
Von Wagner, he's my favorite. He's my favorite. There's nothing that makes sense about this guy at all. He's awesome.
And, oh, what's his name? Oh, he used to be Vink. What's his name now?
It's really scary.
Jude Bloody Hudson.
Oh, yeah, the poker guy.
He's now a professional poker player.
Sexy Gambit. It's great.
He was literally just in the breakout tournament as, well, it's Duke Hudson.
They've basically gone, guys, if you want to be on TV, you've got to have a gimmick. Like, tomorrow, get me a list of the gimmicks you want to be. And they've gone, poker, skateboard.
Remember, he used to do that series with Jules, and he'd have that thing where sometimes he'd have to report on a story, and he had a wheel of feel.
Yeah.
And he'd spin it, and whatever it landed on, happy, sad, whatever it may
whether
be.
Whether it fits them or not.
Yeah, he'd have to report this. That's what they have. They just come in, what's your name? Gary, well, that's boring.
Have you done
your clock tower or something? And you are a farmer. Congratulations.
What, like Big Bar Follow View? Have you ever done a? Have you done a podcast where you've like predicted the 10 next NXT gimmicks
no,
or something?
That's maybe next week.
100% do that, brother.
There's a new gimmick every single week, and if there isn't, instant down.
I want to do that one. If you do that as a podcast, I want in. Get those nerds out of here.
You're going to be Sheila Dingo and you're going to fight crocodiles. Yeah. Come out with a blow-up crocodile over your shoulder.
You're dangerously close to Shane Thorne's new gimmick.
That's true.
My name is Tiny Dick Smasher. Shouts to Dark Twitter this week.
That is a deep pull. Right, we'll move rapidly along. Enough of all that. It's now time for a bloody good quiz. And this week's quiz is brought to you by Nathan Hatch.
Sorry,
Nathan Hatch, you did provide us with a lovely... hang on. Get out, Mike.
That's a lot emptier than it was at the beginning of the day.
The big Nestle biscuit box. Nathan, very kind, has sent us this huge box of biscuits to accompany... Wrestle Culture with a note. Bringing back the biscuits to Wrestle Culture. Enjoy and keep up the banter from Nathan Hatch. Nathan, this was such a wonderful surprise in our office earlier on this week. We have saved it for today. So thank you so much for doing that. If you
I'm on a Toffee Crisp biscuit right now. I've already had a Yorkie biscuit during this podcast.
I have eaten too many this afternoon. I don't think I can even open this box and look at it. But thank you, Nathan. If you want your name associated with a hashtag bloody good quiz, either send us some food to the What Culture office or subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. But thank you.
Don't just say food. Blanket food.
Biscuits.
You biscuits. Never know what we're going to get if you just have a blanket food.
Yeah, actually, biscuits. And biscuits professionally made, just in case.
We've had some bad food in our office before. I'm not going to name the person who did it because I don't want to shame anyone. But do you remember when someone went on a holiday to Singapore and came back with the smelliest fruit I've ever...
Durian?
Durian.
Yeah.
I remember hearing about this and thinking, like, I like most fruits.
Yeah.
Like, there's not... I'm slightly allergic to kiwi fruit, but beyond that, I like most fruits. And they were like, oh, no, it smells and it tastes horrible. And I was like, yeah, but why would anyone buy or eat that if that was the case?
Yeah.
Let's see what this is all about. Oh, my God, it's the worst thing I've ever tasted. And then because it had been opened, every time you walked into the What Culture kitchen, you got like another wave of it. And it stuck around for about a week. That
Somebody did quite like the taste of them. So I'm not going to name who this was because that would be mean. Somebody decided they quite liked the taste of them, and because everyone else was raging at the presence of this stuff in the office, she thought, I'll take this home, I quite like this. Got halfway home, realised that it was stinking in their backpack and that they were about to go on public transport, and just threw it in the bin.
Well, that's ironic that, because my wife, her mum's from Singapore, and her sister actually grew up in Singapore and got asked to leave a train because she had some durians in her bag. They were like, and this was when she was like a kid as well. They were like, can you piss off, please? Get off this train and get on the next one or whatever.
It's rich for me. I come from a country where the national dish is haggis, right? So, but the durian, I don't want that again.
No. But thank you once again to Nathan Hatch for this lovely big
biscuit
box.
Nathan. Thank you, Nathan.
A deep cut as well. Really like it.
Good it's been ages. Oh, honestly, lovely for that. Right, anyway, let's move on to this week's hashtag bloody good quiz, which is all about, of course, occupational gimmicks.
Oh, good.
Off the back of Tony D'Angelo's debut
of
this week.
Bill Ding is not involved in this quiz, I'm going to resign.
Bill Ding is not involved.
Well, I quit.
10 questions, a multiple choice, shout your name, wait for me to come to you, and just remember, it's just for fun, and I suppose a few biscuits as well.
Yeah.
Okay, question number one. I'll start this off easy. Question number one. Who Was Isaac Yankum DDS the personal dentist?
Andy. Jerry Lawler.
Of it was, of course, Jerry Lawler. Okay, question number two. How many matches did Friar Ferguson have in the WWF? In case you're wondering which one that was, it was the one that came out and had the word monk written on a piece of paper, just in case you didn't get it. How many matches did he have until I think some church in North America complained and they went, yeah, you're Bastian Booger, pal.
Poor Mike Shaw.
So was it 1, 2, 3, or 4? How many matches he officially had in the WWF?
I mean, there's no way like any of us, either of us know this off, you know,
no.
at hand. So I'm going to say 3.
I will lend you my Best of Friar Ferguson DVD after this. It's not 3.
Oh. I'll go 2.
It's 1. He literally had one match. His finisher was lift up the robe, imply that your bare arse is there, and Scottish. Sit on them. That's it.
Toot, toot, arse, oot was the finisher. Okay.
Okay, question number 3. Oh, wish Miller was here for this one. Question number 3. What item of Randy Savage did Repo Man once repossess? Was it his sunglasses, his robe, his hat, or his Slim Jims?
Phil, I'm going to take a wild guess. I kind of want it to be Slim Jims, but I'll go with hat.
You have been hanging around Simon Miller far too long. It is indeed his hat.
Slim Jims would have been far funnier.
Yeah.
So much better, wouldn't it?
Get Chris Thompson on for that one.
Question 4. This one's all about the Mountie. Ooh. Who actually became Intercontinental Champion for a very brief period.
Yeah, first wrestling match I ever watched was the Mountie versus Roddy Piper for the Intercontinental title. So there you
and
go.
And you're still here.
I'm still here, baby.
Well, I want to know who the Mountie defeated to become Intercontinental Champion.
That's before my time, brother.
Was it Bret Hart, Roddy Piper, the British Bulldog, or Mr. Perfect?
Ooh.
Lost it to Piper and then zapped him with the cattle prod thing anyway, or the other way around, sorry.
Bill, was Bret Hart the first one?
Yeah.
I'll go with Bret Hart.
It was Bret
nice.
Hart. A shock win because Bret Hart was under the weather.
Of course.
He was going through contract negotiations at the time.
There's a lot of weather in Canada as well, so that adds
Yay!
Up.
Oh yeah, what am I thinking? I haven't used my soundboard today. Oh, no.
What have you done?
Okay. Question 5. 2-1 to Phil. I will make up for this soundboard
Go and play the guitar one. No,
that's coming. That's coming.
It takes 2
These
minutes.
These nuts.
Okay, there it is. Fixed.
Go and do Donald Trump. Go on. Drop a Trump.
Okay.
And God bless the United States.
There we go. Now we're all better.
What a collection of syllables.
Okay. Question 5. 2-1 to Phil. After Lashley defeated Simon Dean, remember Simon Dean, the Simon System?
I could use some Simon System at the moment.
How many double cheeseburgers was he forced to eat? I'll give you a clue. He vomited backstage as a result of this. This is Simon Dean, not Bobby Lashley, obviously. Was it 5, 10, 20, or 40?
He would die if it was 40. Stomach would explode. Andy, 20.
Yay!
Incorrect answer.
What?
Even 20 that, even is still 20 mad. Double cheeseburgers.
I call 10 a good weekend, but 20 is excessive.
I was reading about that as well, because it was like they brought him in. They were like, yeah, we got an idea. You're Simon Dean. You're Simon Dean. You're Simon. The Blue World Order are here. Nah, you're one of them. You're one of them. And then about a week later, Blue Meanie doesn't want to stick around anymore. You want to be Simon Dean again? We'll feed you to Bobby Lashley, and then he'll feed you 20 cheeseburgers. Right, what are we on? 2-2 after
all.
5 questions. Okay. Remember Fantasio?
Yes. For
bud-time magician, bud-time wrestler. I want you to cast your minds back to that match of his that we've all seen where he like chucks streamers about and does stuff. At the end of the match, he pulls Earl Hebner's pants out from his trousers. But what colour are they? Are they white with red spots? Are they black and white, like a referee's top? Are they pink Or are they red? Is it red panty night in the house?
I had pink in my head before we started, so I'll stick with pink.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Are they, were they the white with red spots?
No, dear, that's wrong.
Yay! They were black and white.
They should have been good white with a little poo spot.
The white with red spots were his opponent's pants that he also pulled out.
He's magic. What else are you going to do with your powers?
Pants man, I love it.
Is that when he had the thing where he like had the string that came out of his mouth and he like went over, how much of this have I got in my mouth? I don't care. Get on with the match.
He could be on 2.0, to be fair.
He could. There's only one wrestler that could do a magic gimmick. Let's face it, though, and it's David Arquette.
Yes. The deathmatch king.
100% needs to bring that character back, because if you haven't seen his documentary, it's amazing.
Love the magic man.
Question 7. What Slammy Award did Duke the Dumpster Drosy win? Was it most embarrassing moment? Was it most smelliest? Was it most sweatiest? Or was it Take Out the Trash Award?
Phil, Take Out the Trash Award, because that just sounds like a thing that WWE would do.
No, dear, that's wrong.
I made that one up. I got you.
Most smelliest.
Yay!
Hey!
Do you want to know who won sweatiest?
Was it Bastion Booger? Shane McMahon. Brock Lesnar.
It was IRS that year. Weird. It was like 1994.
Brock Lesnar didn't exist then.
It was most smelliest because of bin man stuff.
Yeah, bin guys.
Slammies are good.
Yeah, bring them back.
Yeah, did they do them? When was last time? A few years ago, wasn't it?
No.
They sort of half commit to him. I mean, wasn't it one of them was a catalyst for Shawn Michaels as The Undertaker 2 at WrestleMania, if I'm not mistaken? He literally went, oh, thanks for the award. You know what, Undertaker? I didn't beat you. Right, what's that? 3-2 to Andy? Yes.
Maybe.
Three questions left. Who won the 24/7 championship from the gobbledygooker at Survivor Series?
I forgot about this. Gee whiz. We did this as a news video, the gobbledygooker.
Yeah, was it R-Truth, Akira Tozawa, Tucker,
hold on,
or Angel Garza?
Hold on, I thought this was about occupational gimmicks. Turkey is not a job.
Professional turkey. Professional turkey.
Mom, when I want to grow up, I want to be a turkey.
Phil, I'm just going to say R-Truth because, I mean, hedge your bets.
No, dear, that's wrong.
He got rolled up by the gobbledygooker.
Was it Tozawa?
Yay!
Ninja versus a turkey.
Yes.
Ninja wins every time.
There you go. That's why it's an occupational thing, because he's a ninja.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that an occupational? I guess it must be.
Mentioned how racist that gimmick is enough, do we?
Yeah.
Let me just mention it twice. That gimmick is racist.
Or the fact that Omos was part of them for a bit.
Yeah. Giant ninja. Yeah.
Sorry, yes.
Please, respect his name.
It's his proper name. Okay. Question 9. Which one of these divas weren't one of the Godfather's hoes?
Ooh.
Okay. Lita, Ivory, Jacqueline, or Victoria? Three of them were his hoes at one point or another.
So was Thunder Rosa, we learned last week. Yeah.
Phil. Ooh, Lita. I'm going to go with Lita.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Lita was.
Who have I got? Victoria definitely was.
Yeah.
Ivory or Jacqueline are the other two.
Ivory would not have approved of this. She was the member, so was the godfather of the right to censor. Yeah, I've messed
before
this
that,
up.
Before that.
Yeah, it must have been long before that. I'm going to say Ivory anyway. Why not?
No, dear, that's wrong.
Lisa, Ivory, and Victoria, all part of the Godfather's House. It was Jacqueline who was not one of the Godfather's House. 4-2 to Andy. Final questions, just for fun, I don't forget. I just enjoyed this question, writing this question the most. What was the name of T.L. Hopper's plunger? Was it? Similar theme to all of these. I really don't think you're going to be able to spot the fakes that I've thrown in here. Janet, Tracy, Betsy, or Dorothy?
Betsy.
Janet.
Yay!
For who?
To which one? To Betsy.
Oh. Hey!
It was
Janet because Janet Tor.
Oh, that makes far too much sense, Phil. Yes, it was
That'd
called...
That'd be a good gimmick, wouldn't it? Janny Tor.
Oh, don't give me any more ideas.
Tag team partner of Building.
Building, was he an evil architect?
Evil architect, I Building.
Well, congratulations, Andy Murray.
Hey, it's my favourite song.
You are the winner of this week's quiz on wrestle culture, and as a result, you get to go first in terms of telling us where people can find you on Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter at Andy H. Murray. The H stands for...
Phil, where can people find you on Twitter?
At Biscuits. No, at Phil My Chambers, where I will be eating biscuits.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Thanks once again. Massive thank you to Nathan Hatch for providing this week's biscuits and associating himself with the hashtag Bloody Good Quiz. You can still do the same by subscribing to What Culture Wrestling. Leave us a 5-star review on there. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling as well, because tomorrow myself and Michael Sidgwick will be talking all about 2 years of AEW Dynamite. But for now, my thanks to Andy. Thanks to Phil. Thank you guys for joining us. This has been Wrestle Culture, and we will see you soon. Wrestle Culture is recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Biscuit! I mean, wrestling!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.